Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camel X. Happy Tuesday to you. Time for the Think Tank. We do it every Tuesday, 4 p.m. We have Judge Tom Frawley. We have Jeff Rainford with us. And I have a familiar question for you guys, but a little more passionately, maybe. I didn't get to go to opening day. My mom took a fall, and I've been handling that stuff. But I was watching it on television, and they just kept talking about baseball heaven, baseball heaven. And, of course, it's one of the greatest days in St. Louis all year. But it really struck me that when you get past the emotion and you get past, you know, the red jackets and the whole thing, that to me, and I'm no expert, and I've never been in the legislature, but I've been downtown since 1990, that the only thing we really lack in St. Louis proper are good roads and safety. We have, my God, the sports, the symphony, the Muni, the river, the wine country. If you didn't have a preconceived conception of St. Louis and you were living in Ohio and you just saw that stuff, you'd say, my God, what a city. What a wonderful place. And here's my question. And it's such a simple question. It's not just Tashara Jones. I mean, this has been happening for quite some time. Why is it so seemingly impossible to fix roads and make people feel safe?
Well, we'll start with the fix in the roads. The fix in the roads is, if you're talking about the local roads, not the state highways, is a matter of where you put your money. And, you know, as somebody who lives in this city, you know, there are a lot of people who live in the city who don't pay a lot of taxes. And then there are some of us who are in the city who pay a lot of taxes. And so, you know, you end up, I think you have a lot of higher costs when you have a demographic that you have in the city of St. Louis, when you have a lot of crime and you have a lot of public safety issues and you just don't have enough money for it to all go around. And the city's budget is flush at the moment temporarily. But for instance, when Francis Lay was in office, we never, ever had a surplus. We never had money to spend. We never could go, oh, we're going to go fix up, pave all the roads or do all this. So the way the city does it is it has a half cent sales tax that's chopped up 28 ways and the aldermen, well, now 14 ways, and the aldermen decide how to spend it. And lots of times they spend it on other stuff like, you know, fixing up the facilities and parks and that kind of thing. The bottom line in the city of St. Louis is there is just not enough money to take care of the roads. Now, when you get to St. Louis County, it's probably a little bit of a different issue, but there's just not enough money. On crime, I think it's a matter of will, having the will to do it. And there are a lot of people, and we've been through everything, including Michael Brown, including what happened in Minneapolis. And we don't have the will in St. Louis or St. Louis County to do the law enforcement things that need to happen. Now, clearly, we need to do crime prevention. We need to help people get jobs and get training, and we need to invest in neighborhoods. But, you know, I don't know of any place that has the demographics we have with as many poor people as we have and where crime is not an issue unless you are making investments in law enforcement, where you have a police department that is viable and is making arrests and has the support of the community. And the same with the circuit attorney. And when I was in office, you know, we would have crazy things happen in the beginning of spring, either in downtown or out on the Del Mar Loop. And we would tell the chief, you know, go crack down on it. And he's like, well, we're going to get in trouble. People are going to protest. And we're like, we'll handle that. We will take the heat for that. You go do your job. Well, we don't have anybody in the civic community, if you ask me, or the political community, who are willing to do what is necessary on crime. So
those are honest answers.
That's my belief.
Yeah.
Well, you said the only thing was roads and crimes. That's two things.
Well, there.
Counselor.
Yeah, this brings back memories, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? One, wonderful ones for me. I will tell you that I think that one of the reasons that crime is as rampant as it is, as silly as this may seem to you, is two things: the legalization of marijuana and tinted windows. A lot of the cases we used to see on the bench were officers that could see, they'd have a car with no license plate or bad taillight or whatever, pull it over, roll the window down, smell the marijuana, out of the car. We search the car, we find the guns, we find the drugs. Now with tinted windows, you don't know who's in there. You don't know whether there's a gun pointed at you when that window comes down. You don't know whether there's five guys, two guys, one guy, just a woman, a kid in a baby seat or whatever. So you, it's a little scary as an officer to pull it over. Plus, marijuana, maybe you can make a distinction that they're under the influence, but I don't know how we measure that. This, we don't have a way yet to, that I know of anyway, where like with the alcohol, you've got the street test that you can find out. But I tell everybody, you change those two laws back to where they were, and officers can see who's in the car. Wow. I think we I stop them. My view of the police, their job one is to go home to their family. That's job one. Well, if you can't say who's going to be in the car and you don't know what they're going to do, you're going to roll the window down, you put your arm and then they roll it back up and off they go. I'm going to be pretty careful.
Those are some of the most honest answers we've ever had on the show.
Well, we have had situations.
Jeff and I have that ability to be honest.
We have had years where we got it right. So in, I think it was, I want to say 2006, Jim Martin, I don't know if you know him, he's now with Dowd Bennett. He was the U.S. attorney that year, and he decided that he was going to prosecute local violent crimes. And the theory was if you got sent to Jefferson City, it wasn't very far from home and your family could come get you. But if you were convicted of a federal crime, you were going to like Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and nobody was ever going to see you again. So Jim, even though he's acting U.S. attorney, went hard against violent crime. I think we had, I want to say 80 murders that year. And I think we had over 200 last year. And then another year, Jack Garvey, another guy you know, he was the, whatever they call it, the duty judge. He decided bonds. And we convinced him that on gun crimes, he was going to always give a bond of $10,000-$15,000, which nobody could make. And the word got around that if you got caught with a gun, you weren't going to go home in the afternoon on your own recog. You were going to stay in jail until you went to until your case came up. And that simple thing, and St. Louis, UMSL's criminology department studied it. I think violent crime that year was like down 30%. But it takes some guts to do these kinds of things because there are always going to be people who are like, it's not their fault, or, you know, they take the more progressive view on crime and criminal justice. But there are things that can be done way short of setting up a police state. There are things that can be done with professional police and professional prosecutors that could make us safe if we would have the will to do it.
To jump on a little bit what Jeff said, I know this is hard for me to agree with him, but I'm going to try, is Rudy Giuliani did not, as crazy as he is, he did not clean up Times Square by obeying the Fourth Amendment, okay? He didn't do it that way. And Jeff, you mentioned a couple minutes ago about when Mayor Slay was in office, telling the chief, okay, we need to take care of this problem. So you arrest him, you get him in, you don't arrest him, you pull him over, you find out what the drugs or guns are. Maybe it's a good search, maybe it's not. That's our job as judges to figure out. So that's issue one. And the other problem that comes is with a cash bond, nobody's going to let you stay in jail if your family can do the bond. And so the absence of cash bond, your choices now are you either put them back out on the street on their own recognizance, or you keep them locked up. Well, the inn is only so big, and we've shut down, maybe rightly or wrongly, we can argue about the city workhouse. Well, the city jail has only got a certain number of beds, and at some point, you get the beds full. And Jeff, you remember the days when they used to count the heads in the jail because there was a federal lawsuit that we were overcrowded. So to me, the more we become progressive, the harder it is for those who want to enforce are able to do it.
The tenant window thing seems like such a no-brainer that the issue of safety to a police officer would far outweigh any reason you might want to have your windows tinted. Why did we change that law?
I don't know the answer to that question. And of course, it's another chronic, in my opinion, violation of the law because there's a modicum of tinting that's okay. Well, it isn't. It's dark as night. I mean, when you pass somebody on your own car and you look at next to them, I don't know who's in there. I don't know who's how many or whatever. Well, you can imagine an officer. So it's more, again, a compliance, in my opinion, compliance issue with the law. And the law can only do so much. The courts can only do so much. The law judges can only do so much. And as can the officers. If people don't comply and without trying to get into it, we've got a president that doesn't respect, or ex-president, I'm sorry, that doesn't respect the judiciary and enforcement of the law. So what message does that send?
Yeah, and I don't want to let the Republicans off the hook because of Republican gun policies. I mean, I always used to say that a mentally ill person could, it'd be easier for them to find a gun than a toothbrush. I mean, we are so flooded with guns, and they went so far. There's one thing the Republicans did in Missouri that hurts. It used to be that if four guys were driving around in a car and three of them were on paper, they were out on parole, and there was a gun in the car, their parole was pulled. Now, because of the dumb gun laws, they can drive around with a gun and just say, oh, it was that the one guy who is not on paper, it was his gun. And, you know, they passed these laws. They passed another law. They tried to pass a law that said that the U.S. attorney and the FBI could not enforce state gun laws. Now, fortunately, a judge in Kansas City threw that out. And the good news is the Justice Department just announced they're going to put two lawyers in the U.S. Attorney's Office in St. Louis, and they're going to be focused solely on violent crime cases, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And as I said, when Jim Martin was U.S. Attorney, that worked. So the Republicans aren't doing us any favors either.
Oh, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with anything you just said about the changes in the laws, but it still comes back to you. You can put as many in the judiciary or in the U.S. Attorney's Office or the Circuit Attorney's Office. Somebody has to bring the defendant or the alleged defendant to them. We don't go out and say, oh, hey, by the way, what about you, Jeff Rainford? I think you probably committed a crime. Come with me. So there's got to be the enforcement people, the police, the FBI, whatever
it is.
It
must be really bad now that if during the Francis Slay era, when there were more people, there were way more businesses downtown paying taxes, and you guys still didn't have money to spend, it must just be other than the Fed and the Rams money we have now. But that's almost like getting an inheritance, right? I mean, it just based on our own steam, we must just be in the red.
So the actual answer is the city itself, St. Louis County is. St. Louis County has a deficit and they have to deal with it. The city is actually running surpluses because I think they only have like 70% of the people who, the 70% of the positions they have in the table of the organization are filled. We're way short of police officers. We're way short of trash truck drivers. So, you know, we're getting crummy services, but they are they're saving money and running surpluses. But you are correct, and this is what I'm worried about, is when the Rams money is gone, when the ARPA money is gone, and assuming they actually start providing city services again, in 3 or 4 years, the city is going to be in really bad shape because of the people who work from home. If they're employers in the city, but they live outside the city for the days they work from home, they're not going to have to pay the earnings tax when this litigation is done. And the city's going to be bad off. And the city property tax is already high and the sales tax is high. So as coming events, the only way I think the city remains fiscally viable is if it starts doing some stuff together with St. Louis County, which also, by the way, is not exactly flush with cash.
Quick break. Right back. DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS Think Tank here with Judge Tom Frawley, Jeff Rainford. So what I want to ask, let me ask you, Jeff, because you kind of set up the scenario that within 2 or 3 years, this could happen. In another 4 or 5 years, this could happen, whether it's with the police or the budget or the schools. What could happen? I mean, what's kind of worst case scenario? What happens right when a city sort of quote unquote dies?
Well, first of all, cities can file bankruptcy, but only Detroit has done it so far. You do see it coming. It's not like one day the city of St. Louis is flush with cash and a week later it's broke. Now, the mayor kind of gave the first warning sign. It was probably total politics, but she kind of called for a hiring freeze. It's the first acknowledgement that something is coming, and I hope that she and the Board of Aldermen take it seriously. But they have some running room. The city itself probably has 3 to 5 years before they hit what I call a fiscal cliff, and they are flush with cash, with Rams money, ARPA money, and a surplus. They need to start planning today for it, but I don't see how the city thrives. The city is always can survive if it skinnies down and becomes, you know, if I'm just going to be frank, all middle to upper middle class, the rich white people living in the central corridor and maybe south west part of the city, and the rest of the city's semi or abandoned. But if you want a healthy city with kids in it, the city's going to have to start planning today, and they can't tax their way to it. The property tax is already too high. The sales tax is too high. They're going to have to figure out how to completely reconfigure city government, probably combining a lot of stuff with St. Louis County. As far as the city schools go, I don't see how that ever turns around, because I don't know how you get families with children to come back into the city. And they are in a downward spiral, and there's probably 20 districts. I'm not an education expert. Education experts tell me there's probably 20 districts in the country who in the next whatever 5 years are going to go bankrupt, whatever that means. And I think St. Louis Public Schools are one of them. I mean, if you look at the demographics in the city, African-American parents with children are moving out at a really fast, alarming rate as recently as now. Like, every month they're moving out. And you know, the St. Louis Public Schools will blame it on charter schools or other things. But, you know, the product is not good enough for people who have a choice of where to live to choose to live in the city of St. Louis and send their kids to a public school.
Do we have examples of that around the country where basically downtowns have kind of been abandoned?
Well, I mean, you have cities that are doing great. I mean, Nashville's doing great. Indianapolis decided to do amateur sports, yeah. And they're doing
yep.
great.
Yeah.
Austin, Texas is, you know, in this very more conservative state than Missouri is, and they're doing great. Atlanta has very similar demographics. Atlanta is a majority African-American city, and it's booming. You know, while our population has been going down, Atlanta's population is growing like crazy. You know, I know places like St. Louis, Detroit, Cleveland, Newark, it's really, really hard. But as you pointed out, because we used to be such a big deal when we were the fourth biggest city, and really recently, as probably as recent as 1970, we were a big deal. We do have the remnants of greatness here. We don't have a great climate. We don't have a mountain. We don't have a great lake. But we really do have, you can make a lot of money in St. Louis and live affordably. And we have great amenities. And so we have a lot to work with. And I hope that people like me who are saying these things, I know I sound shrill or whatever, but I'm hoping that if we wake up the political and business community, we actually can do much better than we are doing. And there are other places that have reinvented themselves, or in Nashville's case, they took their great quality of life and turned that into making themselves into a tech hub. But let me give you one example. We're losing African-American professionals from St. Louis. Nashville did something real simple. They have a historically black college and university there, and they basically said, if you are from St. Louis, we'll give you in-state tuition if you come down to Nashville, knowing that if they graduate in Nashville, they're likely to stay. There are some actual things that can be done, but we're not doing any of them, and I think we need to wake up and start thinking about, you know, what can we do. The other thing we're really bad at is immigration. We have one of the smallest, not born in the United States populations of any city in America. And it's interesting that, I am a Democrat, I'm a moderate Democrat, but the progressives in the city of St. Louis talk about having these policies to benefit African-Americans and immigrants, and yet the immigrant population in a percentage basis is bigger in Chesterfield and Maryland Heights than it is the city of St. Louis. It's not working.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Can I give one shout-out?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I want to give a shout-out to the St. Louis University women's basketball team and to all those folks that came to the WNIT final that the Billiken women won after winning 6 in a row in that tournament. I hope all those people come back to buy season tickets next year. It's a fun time, a great time, and kudos to Rebecca Tillett and her staff.
That's right.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You got a new men's coach, too.
Did you?
Here I am.